So, dear brothers and sisters, when we walk with the Lord, something we're going to discover fairly quickly is that, in the nicest way possible, the Lord can be quite unpredictable. It's not so much that he's erratic, but it's just he sees the full picture and we don't. So we make decisions based on what we know, which is a very, very narrow vision of history. So, plus our own intelligence and our own experience and our own hurts and wounds, they all influence how we make decisions. Whereas God sees objectively the big picture. So his plans very often are different to ours. His ways are not our ways, as scripture tells us. So often the Lord arranges something which is different to our plans. And this is something that I think it's wonderful when we learn to embrace this, that if we follow the Lord, the Lord will change our plans. The Lord will change our plans. Now, that generally means the Lord will improve our plans. It generally means things are going to go better than they would have if we had decided things on our own. Like, the Lord arranges things quite differently. Again, but we have to keep in mind, he arranges things or organizes things or guides things with the big picture in mind. So, for example, St. Stephen today, our first reading. The apostles, and Stephen included, did they have any idea where following the Lord would lead them? Did they have any idea where this was going? Did they have any idea, like, that centuries later we'd be talking about them, that a series of books we know as the New Testament would be written, and that their names would... Did they know any of this? No, they didn't. As Stephen is witnessing to the Lord, and in quite a, not aggressive, but it's quite a provocative thing to do, very, very courageous, to stand in front of those who can end your life and say to them, you know, was there not, can you name a single prophet your ancestors never persecuted? In the past, they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One. And now, you have become his betrayers, you have murdered him. So he's saying, it's your fault, all of you, it's your fault. So you who have the power to kill me, I'm telling you, it's your fault that Jesus died. Right? So these are strong words. You who had the law brought to you by the angels are the very ones who have not kept it. They were infuriated, understandably. And then he throws the final punch. So he says, I can see heaven thrown open and the Son of Man standing at God's right hand. And see, we don't notice anything too erroneous in that. There isn't anything erroneous in that. But for the Jews, to say that God is there and someone is at his right hand, you're making someone equal to God. That's why they stop their ears. That's blasphemy. Because no one is equal to God. There's only one God. That's God the Father, I guess, in their understanding. And there is no other God. There's no one equal to God. So there's no one at his right hand. You know, it's like there's God and there's everyone else. So to say that, like, the Son of Man, that Jesus is at God's right hand, again, you're making him equal to God, and that's blasphemy. So that brought about his stoning. Did he plan any of this? Like, did he know this was going to happen? Even a week beforehand, the day beforehand, did he know this was going to happen? No. God changes our plans. God changes our plans. But this plan, it seems like a tragedy, but it's not, in the sense that the early church, those who suffered in the early church, that the blood of martyrs was the seed of Christians. The blood of martyrs is the seed of Christians. So as they died for the Lord, they witnessed to the world that this message that we have received isn't just a nice philosophy or something we read somewhere or something we heard somewhere or some little spiritual guru who started a bit of a club or a church or something. That's not it. We believe that this man is who he says. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he wants to lead us back to the Father. He has revealed to us the Father, and he has revealed us to ourselves. He's revealed man to himself. He shows us our dignity, our value, our worth. He shows us who we truly are in the sight of God. You've made him little less than the angels, as scripture tells us. So, they witnessed by the offering of their lives to this message, which we now can celebrate so easily in our churches, but because of their sacrifice. So the Lord changes our plans. The Lord changes our plans. My plan for my life was to become initially an electronic engineer with preferably a metallic blue BMW M3 parked outside my house. That was the plan. I don't really care about swimming pools out the back. Doesn't really bother me, but I did want a BMW M3. On a teacher salary, I'm not sure if that would ever have been possible, because that's what I decided to do second after electronic engineering kind of fell through. I discovered I hated it. I looked into religion teaching, did 2 years of formation for that. And then, now neither of these were God's plan. That said, that time wasn't wasted. As I was having these, let's call them worldly experiences, but then when the call to vocation came, I wasn't heading into a religious vocation blindly or naively. I had lived the worldly life, nothing too crazy. Well, I wasn't a saint either, but it wasn't completely off the rails. But I had seen both ways of life. So now when the call came, I was able to look back at my more worldly way of life and say, okay, I've been there, done that, and it wasn't fulfilling. So this religious life, we might try this. Okay, we'll try this. So we did. I did. And it was amazing. Was it my plan initially? Absolutely not. And then I ended up, through God's providence, in a religious community out in Rome. And we're a missionary community, so I could have been sent anywhere. I could have been sent to Russia or Kazakhstan or the Ukraine or Slovakia, Czech Republic, Germany, Austria, Switzerland. Could have been. You never know. Could have been. And where did I get sent? Back to Ireland. What were the chances of that? Practically zero, because we have no mission. My community has no mission in Ireland. So I get sent back to a town 45 minutes from my home place and end up working part-time in a number of schools in a parish there in Mitchelstown. So, like, was any of this my plan? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And then for the next 6 years, my mission was beginning, but again, I didn't know that. Working in Cloyne Diocese, working in Waterford and Lismore Diocese for summer camps, getting to know more people in New 2000 and becoming more actively involved in that. All of this was preparation for Holy Family. So then when the Lord asked the three of us to set up Holy Family, we already had known people throughout the country. Like, we had been involved in different youth ministry. We'd been involved in different retreats, pilgrimages. We knew Bishop Fonzie. So the whole project here in Holy Family was able to start very, very quickly. But not because any of us had planned it, because we couldn't have planned it, because we didn't know that this was what we were going to do. But the Lord was planning it. The Lord was planning it. And then when the time was right, all the pieces slotted in and everything started very quickly and incredibly providentially. But again, this is God's plan, not ours. So what's he asking us to do? He's asking us to walk in faith. And he's asking us to walk with trust, because we cannot, we will not allow our plans to be changed if we don't trust God. So we'll hold on tightly. We'll grab on to our version of how our future should be. And when the Lord tries to adjust things, when he tries to redirect things to on a better plan, a better project altogether, a better idea, a better realization of ourselves, we won't move. Because that's not my plan. That's not my idea. Thanks for the suggestion. I'll take care of my life myself. And then we don't. And then things don't change. And then 5, 10, 15 years afterwards, we're wondering why things are still so bad, so awful, why things haven't worked out. Well, the Lord was trying to tell you to go. You didn't want to. So he didn't give up on you. He waited. But like certain things, there is a time limitation to certain opportunities as well. So we can't allow the Lord to be God in our lives and yet have control over everything ourselves. Because it just won't work. The Lord will try to heal, will try to guide, will try to get you to do something at his service. It's not all about us and us getting healed and us getting, having a fulfilled life. He also will ask us to serve him. This is another, kind of the next step, if you will. It's not just about our healing and our realization, but once we're ready, the Lord then wants us to go on mission. So who's he asking us to serve? Who's he asking us to invite? Who's he asking us to, or how is he asking us to be his instruments in this world? Who's he asking us to speak to witness to? I mean, there's all of that as well. But again, if I'm so focused on my realization of my plans, I won't obey. I won't do any of this. I'll get stuck. And then so many wonderful things that could have been don't happen. So we can't be Lord of our lives and ask the Lord to be Lord of our lives. There's only one center here. There's only one fulcrum over which everything depends. It's either me or him. There's probably a third influence as well, but I think for most of us it's either us or the Lord. I don't think any of us are directly influenced by Satan, but it can happen. Do I want the Lord to be Lord of my life? Will I trust him to change my plans? Will I trust him to change what I think is the direction my life should go? And to do so joyfully, knowing that what he wants, what God wants, is the maximum of our happiness. Just yesterday we were meditating how in airports they have these travelators and escalators and lifts, and I just made the point that, generally speaking, the Lord doesn't just pop us into a lift and bring us up to the conclusion, the destination, that he generally wants us to walk. So he gives us a map and he gives us the tools. You know, he gives us the teaching of the church, and then he gives us the sacraments and sacramentals to keep us on the straight and narrow and to heal us and strengthen us and so on. Okay, so he gives us what we need, but he asks us to walk. Now, as soon as I said that, I did remember the fairly famous quotation from St. Teresa of Lisieux about the escalator, which I'll read now. So I don't want to obviously correct St. Teresa of Lisieux, but I'm saying that what I was proposing is there's a balance between expecting the Lord to do everything. So I sit down and just expect the Lord to carry me wherever I'm supposed to go when I do nothing. I binge watch Netflix all day and I expect the Lord to make me a saint. Not really the way it works. At the same time, it's not all on me, where I have to try hard, and I have to fast more, and I have to push harder, and I have to be a saint, and I have to do all of this, all that has to be done is all me. And if I fail, it's my fault, and I'm the worst, and I'm absolutely useless, and I'm a disgrace, and God is embarrassed with me. That's not the case either. So what we're aiming for is this you know, virtue in the middle, where it's the Lord's will and the Lord's grace and me working together. See how that works? God's grace, me, works together. And then that's how the Lord wants us to work and walk with him. We're using our intellect and our will, yes, which he has given us, with his grace. It's like Our Lady's yes, and the coming of the Holy Spirit upon her brings about what? Brings about life, brings about Jesus. Okay, so St. Teresa of Lisieux writes, "The good God would not inspire unattainable desires. I can then, in spite of my littleness, aspire to sanctity. For me to become greater is impossible. I must put up with myself just as I am and all my imperfections. But I wish to find the way to go to heaven by a very straight, short, completely new little way." We're in a century of inventions. Now one does not have to even take the trouble to climb the steps of a stairway. In the homes of the rich, an elevator replaces them nicely. I too would like to find an elevator to lift me up to Jesus. For I am too little to climb the rough stairway of perfection. So I have looked in the books of the saints for a sign of the elevator I long for. And I have read these words, proceeding from the Mount of Eternal Wisdom. He that is a little one, let him turn to me. So I came, knowing that I had found what I was seeking and wanting to know. O my God, what you would do with the little one who would answer your call. And this is what I found. As one whom the mother caresses, so will I comfort you. You shall be carried at the breast, and upon the knees they shall caress you. Never have more tender words come to make my soul rejoice. The elevator, which must raise me to the heavens, is your arms, O Jesus. For that I do not need to grow. On the contrary, I must necessarily remain small, become smaller. O my God, you have surpassed what I expected, and I want to sing your mercies. It's a summary of St. Teresa of Lisieux's little way, that in order to attain greatness, sanctity, one doesn't have to do an awful lot, one has to become smaller. But keep in mind, she doesn't say you don't have to do anything. We still have to turn up. Now keep in mind, she's in a religious life. She's turning up multiple times a day to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. She's turning up every meal or after every meal to serve and to take care of her, of the retired sisters. She was a novice mistress as well. So she formed the novices. So every day you're teaching and leading by example. Now she died at 24, if I remember correctly. So she died quite young. She attained this sanctity very quickly. But it wasn't that she did nothing. It's just that she knows that her little way, so her efforts, with God's great grace and God's great mercy, lift her up. So it's like the map and the tools. She knows what the direction is. She knows that God's grace is available, all that she needs. So yes, he lifts her up. She does her bit, which on the grand scheme of things, our part is quite small. The Lord does all the heavy lifting, but he requires us to do our part, small as it may be. And then he can raise us to great sanctity. Is this what we plan? Or will this be realized as we plan it? Very unlikely. The Lord's plan, more than likely, will be very different to ours. But much better. But much better. You know, you ask a 5-year-old what they want to be when they grow up. I don't know, maybe things have changed. When I was young, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be an astronaut. Why on earth would anybody want to be an astronaut? That's got to be like, if you get travel sick, my goodness, get into a rocket as they launch you with 8 Gs straight up, traveling 28,000 miles an hour as you orbit the Earth. Why would you want that? I don't know, it's fascinating. You know, it's adventure. But is that the plan of God for most of us or any of us at this stage? No. No, it's not the Lord's plan for us. The Lord's plans for us are much better. If I can help in some way, guide a soul to heaven, a soul of eternal value, if I can in some way help someone get to heaven, that's worth far more than orbiting the earth or setting foot on the moon. So we ask the Lord today, or more than ask him, we give him permission, cheeky and all as it sounds, we give him permission to change our plans, to redirect our lives. And Lord, we ask that as we do our little acts of service today, that we may do them with great love, and that we may discover this little way, this way in which our littleness, our humility, our life which recognizes your greatness might result in you lifting us up to your heart and to our eternal home.